Hey, welcome back, everybody, to the Intellectual Ignorance Podcast. I am your co-host, Jarrell Parker.
What's good, everybody? My name's Nick Carrillo, your other co-host.
And I miss you, Nick, man. What the fuck? Why have you been so busy that we don't care to make time, at least 45 minutes out of your week, sit with me, talk shit together?
October was crazy, midterms and just getting my life together, honestly.
Have you got your life together?
No, my midterms are done. It's just, yeah. It's all good now. We're here.
It's
we're
all
here.
Good.
That's all that matters. Yeah, we're here.
man. Friggin', I had my birthday this past weekend.
How old are you now?
Oh, God. I'm 24.
Kobe year.
It is my Kobe year.
Damn.
My year of greatness. It really is, dude. Like, I've, like, literally starting to buckle down on a lot of things in my life. Most people, which I recognize, most people fuck off their 20s, dude. Like, literally, fuck around, like, party, don't realize until they wake up, till they're 30, like, holy crap, where did all this time come?
How does it feel, though? Honestly,
it's a mix between feeling I'm happy that it was my birthday, I'm happy I'm getting older, especially where I'm from, most people don't. Able, statistically speaking, I had beat the system as an African American male, college educated, got a good job, small business owner. I am very blessed, and that's actually what I did this past on my birthday. I took the day off. I didn't go to work. I did whatever the hell I wanted to do. And what did I do? I worked out, meditated for a solid hour to myself, and then I read all my diary posts. From back to 2012. Do you keep a diary?
You read all of them.
All of them.
I want to, but it's
just dude, like, you need to. Oh my God.
Even if it's like a sentence a day, huh?
Anything, even if it's a paragraph, dog. Yeah. Like, reflect on like an important moment that happened to you in your life. Yeah. Like, whenever you're feeling like you're feeling down or something exciting happened, or even if you're just mellow, like it was just like a bland, I just want to write to myself. That's very important to keep.
Yeah.
How old are you right now? 21?
21.
That's like it's a good time to still keep. I mean, I hope you kept stuff when you were traveling abroad.
Oh, yeah. I have a blog.
Oh, yeah, you have a blog, but like, dude, like I read back to everything back when I was traveling abroad back to my sophomore year in college. Like my thoughts, my writing was shit.
Well, when you're freestyling like that, I feel like grammar is not important.
It's not. It's really not. Like, you freestyle. My writing, my grammar got better. Gradually, as I progressed and wrote more essays here at San Jose State, and started more and reflecting more deeper on my thoughts instead of just putting like a plain, simple text.
Yeah.
It was more introspective. Interpersonal of actually what I was feeling and going through at that particular time. Some of like the big standout pop out moments was my first time, like literally why I was flying. I mean, my first entry when I was on the plane going to Australia. Like, okay. I was literally writing like how I was feeling in that moment. Plane taking off, shitty ass writing on the paper, plane shaking, everything like that. That was great, just reflecting on that, how I feel. I was asking myself questions of how would I change as a person. This was July 8th, 2013.
Fuck, that long ago?
No,
14.
No,
13,
yeah. No, it was 13, July 8th, 2013. That's when I left. And I'm reading that, I'm like, man, I was asking myself questions, like, how would I change as a person? And then my reading back, my entry of answering that question when my trip was over 11 and a half months later, and I was answering that question, how has it changed? I saw the world in terms of an international perspective and comparing and contrasting cultures and seeing the world for its inequalities from the perspective of living in Australia for a year and opposed to coming back to America. I see the inequality grander scale. And then also, like, being able to just make friends with anybody, like, just anybody from around the world, even though you might have an accent and you know what I'm talking about. Look at the cheesing right now. Nick studied abroad in London for a year. I talked him into it if you guys are new to the podcast.
Yeah, I was out there for a year and just everything what Jarrell is saying is, like, it's true. Like, it really just opens up, pops your bubble open.
Yep.
And you just see so much that you learn every day without even trying.
And
everything's become so interesting. Life is just so much, I don't know, it's just so much more interesting and, like, enriching and fulfilling, I feel like. I don't know, just if once you have that open mind and you start to utilize it, and then you even now, like, I bring it back here, and it's just really just like it changes your life.
Mm-hmm. And so, yeah. Like, I'm reading those entries. Another, like, the common themes when I was in Australia was, like, money was an issue my first 6 months, because, like, Australia is expensive.
Mm-hmm.
Like, I did not expect to be that much more pressure on it's on international currency.
Australian dollar.
Australian dollar versus US dollar. And also, like, writing to myself back in, like, 2013 when the government was about to shut down. That's when I got into politics. That's actually a theme of what we're going to talk about today, the election. That's when I got into politics. I was like, okay, wait, who is Ryan Paul? Who is Secretary of State? Who's all these people? Yeah. Like, why? Because what was going to happen was, if the U.S. government shut down, our currency was going to drop. And I'm an international student in a foreign country with foreign money, and you're going in the national exchange rate where your currency drops, it has no value. So my money would have no value in another country.
So how am I going to get right home?
I'm not friends with somebody like, hey, you got $1,200 for a one-way flight for me to get home. Yeah, that's like that circumstances that I didn't want to get into. And that's when I got more in tune with what's going on with the world. That's literally the moment that October, I got more in tune with, okay, I want to know what's going around with the globe. Like, what's going around, how this affects me.
Yeah. But being now that, like, just getting older, are you scared of getting more old?
No.
You're embracing it right now?
No. Not really, because I wrote down my 3 month goals, my 6 month goals, my yearly goals, and then my 5 year, 10 year, and 10 year plus goals. Like, some of my goals is to travel the world before I turn 30,
okay.
Have my master's degree within the next 5 years,
nice.
Move my mom and little brother and sister out here, more south to San Jose, somewhere here, and help them have, like, a better education, and just go to a better school, live the experiences that I've lived since I got into college, since I turned 18, living life, literally. And so I'll sacrifice my time, energy, and money in order for that to happen. Because I see as that enables me to create that intergenerational wealth, that education, that knowledge. So for my little brother and sister who are 10 and 13, they can experience the same things. I want them to travel abroad, freaking go to a good school, everything like that.
Yeah.
They can be educated just how I am educated. And I see that as a 10, 20 plus year investment.
Okay.
And so I'm thinking more future terms in that sense.
Because I'm at that point where it's like, I'm a fourth year right now. Not graduating this year, going to be graduating in spring 18, but just talking with some of my best friends that I met, like, the first week I came to state, is just like, they're graduating in the fall, the majority of them, and I'm just like, damn, like, it's just, we were all just there, or me and my best friend, we were just talking, and just like, fuck, it's crazy how, like,
it goes
time
on,
has just, like, legit in a snap, and just kind of how we've been stuck in the San Jose State bubble of, like, getting involved on campus, just fucking shit up, like, meeting all these people. And then now, like, we're just having this conversation, like, damn, like, in a year, like, all that kind of stuff that we did here on campus is not, it's going to be relevant, but it's not going to be, like, as, like, when you go out to the real world, like, oh, yeah, I was an RA. Like, no,
I'm letting you know, guys, right now, like, this after college. College is easy. I have to finish this, dude. College is easy. But college keeps you so busy that you don't have time to reflect and live in the moment.
Yeah.
You do not have time to enjoy those experiences. Like, you're on the go. And so the problem with that is you don't have time to reflect on you, which is very important. That's why I meditate all the time, is because, like, I need time to figure out myself and what I want. Because when I graduated, I was like, wait, what's next? Because San Jose doesn't prepare you for that after college, because it keeps you so busy that you don't get the focus on you. Okay, you got your major in engineering, but is that really what you wanted to do? Or is that what somebody else wanted you to do?
And I think that's why when I was talking to my friend, like, later on that night, or it was pretty much last night, I was, like, 3 a.m, I was just doing homework, and I was just like, you know what, like, just appreciate, like, just the fact that you're here, you're doing, like, you're hustling, all your friends are, like, so close. I can legit walk, like, not even,
yep.
Like, not even 400 meters, and, like, my best friends are, like, right there, and my bros are right there. So it's kind of just, like, meditating, like, appreciating, like, yeah, college is hard, but it's, like, it's hella fun, and then I think that's the hard part for me, too, because it's going to be coming to an end soon, like, shit.
You better enjoy this time, dude, but also have your shit together, so, like, you can, if you want to travel when you graduate, I want to travel for 3 to 6 months, have that buffer money there, so I got that. It's there, it's established. But also, like, what I'm learning, dude, is it's really not what you know, it's who you know, and then what you know.
Yeah.
Like, and then what you know. Like, it's... What going back to what you're saying, like, it goes by fast, dude, but you have to... It's hard to live in a moment and enjoy it, but it's a bounce, dude. Because I know you're busy. I don't have no sympathy or anything for you, because I was in your shoes and did what you did. But, like I said, I did an exercise, too. Again, I counted my blessings. Of like, it's a privilege to be educated. Like, it literally is. It is a privilege to be able to go to school, go to a higher educational institution, like San Jose State, just university in general, and do the things we did, like studying abroad. Like, less than 1% of college students do that.
Yeah, so. Just fucking shit up at State, but then also I think it's transitioning to the mode of like, okay, my senior year's here, I need to kind of just get away from the bubble of essays here and kind of just start going to like, just what I want to do with like my career, and I think that's what that's what I've been doing. Just like this past weekend, two weekends ago, just looking at internships. I actually got like an interview on Monday for one, and just really just I guess separating myself from like San Jose State gradually, slowly, because the next realm's coming up.
Because bro, I'm letting you know right now, like life is a journey.
Yeah,
it is not a sprint. Life is a journey. So you may be something like I would get anxiety about like fuck like what's next for me like what and that's why I meditate because it keeps me grounded
center or yeah ground that's the word
keeps me grounded center because like I would stress I'm like yo like you have a good life like what are you complaining about Jarrell you've seen favelas in Costa Rica like
fucking saw kangaroos in fucking Australia bro.
I saw kangaroos it's good but like I've seen places where like these like kids where you literally grew up on a dirt road. You grew up in a shack. Like you barely have electricity. We not only do we have cold water here, we have hot water. But not only do we have both of those, we can turn both on and get warm water.
Yeah, right in the middle, fuck.
See, yeah. It's just like those that like stuff like that we take for granted because we're American. So
yeah,
it is.
Or just Western.
It's Western, it's a standard of living. We have a different standard of living around the world. Stuff like that, like, you need to see. That's why I highly suggest everybody gets a passport and travels. Invest in that passport and go somewhere. Spend $600 in freaking, I don't know, Malaysia or freaking...
Sign up for the flight deal. Google the flight deal. Sign up for the emails. They'll send you... You can get, like, I saw one other day, $100 round trip to Denver from LAX. Like,
I saw tickets for Norway one way for $99.
Yeah. Oh yeah, go to Iceland. My round trip is like $250. Like Iceland's legit. Go see the Northern Lights, bro.
Fuck Vegas. Down the street. Literally, it's down the street in comparison to this globe. Like yeah, travel guys. Like spend some money, invest in yourself. There was actually an investor who created a travel layaway program. Like you pay your flight. In like 29 increments. In increments.
Legit, like a layaway.
Is it called?
You're going to Kmart.
Cool that. Travel away or. Cool that down. Travel away or layaway? Layaway flight.
Travel away.
Travel away?
Travel layaway. Let's see. Oh, here it is.
You found it.
Google Instant Search. Funjet. Vacation payment plans. Probably charge some interest on it, but you know.
It's called Funjet. They'll probably charge you interest, but hey. $50 here, $20 here, you can go to freaking Africa.
Or go on your online anywhere. Banking app and set a goal and legit it will take out money and put it into this little reserve. I know Barclays does that, I know B of A does that, and then
throwing out gems where you are right now.
Yeah. Just do that. Do that for anything. You're trying to buy a car.
Excuse.
Saving for a computer, just go on your online banking, set a goal, and then you can have money deducted every month and put it into this little
shop. Oh, you'll set up a payment plan for that EDC ticket, right? Huh?
Hey.
Oh, you'll set up Coachella,
bro. They'll do it for Coachella, bro.
But hey, like real talk, travel guys, that's like the main thing. Like that's why we really preach like consciousness, like experiencing that, different side of the world, experiencing that age helps you learn about yourself too and what you want for you.
Yeah. Self-betterment, just you'll get the bug too. You'll get the travel bug.
Oh yeah, absolutely.
And I don't know anybody who hasn't.
Where are you traveling to next?
Oh, so my next trip, my sister right now is currently in Zambia, in Lusaka. That's the capital of Zambia. She's doing a health service project there. So she has her MPH and everything, Master in Public Health from SC, her bachelor's from there as well. So she's doing some year-long service project out there with the Ministry of Health. And so we're going to meet up actually in Cape Town for New Year's.
Hey!
So Cape Town, South Africa.
Dude, that was one of my, that was actually going to be one of my projects for ISV. I could have chose between Cape Town, Africa, Costa Rica, and New Zealand.
New Zealand. Oh, but then you're already right there.
I was already there. So
But yeah, so I'll be in Cape Town. And then from there, I'm flying to London, and I have a day-long layover in Dubai. So if you listen to this...
And you're in Dubai, too?
If you know anybody in Dubai that can show me around for, like, a day, that's all I need. I legit have a full 23-hour layover in Dubai. because I'm going to be there for a day. And then I'll be in London after that for about 9 days and just visit all my friends. Huh?
What is this?
Christmas break.
Hey.
Christmas break. Hey. As soon as I landed back from London, I knew I wanted to be out there. I just invested in it. Yeah, it was a lot of money. Yeah, I could have done other stuff with it. But for me, it was like, when is the next... Like, my sister hasn't seen any family in so long. I know how it feels to be away from family. When's the next... Like, there's not going to be another opportunity like that to go visit her at this age.
There's not, dude.
Which, especially at this age... she's young, I'm young, New Year's, let her see some family.
She's probably been working her ass off there.
Yeah, too. And just have just a nice little vacation for her and then for me, and just a little reward for myself after the semester.
That's what's up, dude. Like, yeah. One of my 6-month goals, it was to travel to go see my guy Roman in Ireland.
Oh, shit.
Since, he was actually Dublin? Yeah, in Dublin, Ireland. Oh, cool. I'll probably do that in March.
Oh, shit. Yeah. That's a good place. That's a good time traveling. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
So, I'm gonna hook up with him. I know you're gonna hear this, Roman. So yeah, I do plan on coming to see you.
In case you don't know,
he came out last summer, I believe, to see me.
Okay.
Was it last summer? It was within the next, like, it was in the past like 6 months to a year. He came out to see me, so I gotta return the favor.
For sure.
And I haven't been out of the U.S. since last summer myself.
Costa Rica.
So it's like a goal for me each year or each 6 months to like travel outside, use my passport more. So.
Get them stamps in.
I know. Those stamps in, man. Like, if you're, like, it's just my one of my standards is, like, if you're a girl, one of my standards is...
You gotta have at least 5?
Not 5. You just have to own a passport and have, like, 1 stamp. Oh, you traveled. Oh, you've been somewhere. Oh, you know that you... So how you grew up is different from how I could potentially grow up or somebody else. That's, like, you can relate and reflect on those experiences. Like, you have to have a passport, college educated, cute toes. Standard, like just 3.
He's like standard,
standards, bro. But yeah, man. But yeah, our main thing.
Let's jump into it.
That we wanted to talk about. It is November 2nd, voting day. God, Jesus.
6 days away.
Election.
It's gonna alter
5.
It's Tuesday, so
next week.
Yeah, Tuesday next week.
November 7th is the election day, right?
Whatever Tuesday is. November 8th,
we're both wrong. Wow.
No, yeah, Tuesday. It's Tuesday.
But I said November 7th.
But whatever.
Whatever.
Six days away.
We're in December until man. Don't get mad at me.
Yeah. 6 days away.
And I still have not voted. I got my ballot in front of me.
I actually turned mine in today. I had to re-register to vote to get the ballot up here. I turned it in today, and it's just, this election is... It came by so quick. I remember when I was leaving, Donald Trump was saying, his speech about Mexicans and all that.
Did you blow it off?
And then now, fucking, I didn't think it was going to happen. And now we're fucking here. And I just read a poll from ABC7 that they're, like, tied and that some polls have Donald Trump at 1 point ahead. But I don't know about the polls, but still, it's just something, it's just crazy that there's a chance of him being a...
How do you feel about that, Nick?
Being president? It's, It kind of reveals to me how people still think of this country. I think that's what's more sad, that there's people that do support him. And I know it's hard, too, because Hillary's really bad as well. But I just feel from a social standpoint, like social justice. Issues.
Social justice standpoint.
Social justice. it's just more important to me than like any of the other factors that are going on. Like just the way he, mm-hmm. just yeah, the way his views on social justice and how he treats people, how he ignores certain issues. It's just sad that a lot of people think the same way.
I agree. But to bring it back to a more societal standpoint, it's literally America as a country is mm-hmm. reaping what it has sowed.
Is what?
Is reaping what it sowed. Reap what you sow. Have you heard of that phrase before?
I have not. Can you elaborate a little bit?
Well, to bring some history, some historical context to it, the GI Bill educated the U.S. population. That's when the U.S. started investing. Uh-huh. Investing in its people back in the 1960s and 70s. So it made it easy for students to get Pell Grants, to go to school, loans, student loans, but it wasn't as, like, we're not as impactful in debt as we are now. Uh-huh. The average student, the medium student 30. Graduating this year will have a debt of at least $35,000. Yeah. Mine was $28,000, but with interest is, like, $35,000, but it was worth it because I traveled. Like I spent that money. That
Living
money
the dorm bought too me as well. Yeah,
that money bought me actually bought me something.
Yeah,
bought me perspective. It was worth it in my opinion. But a lot of people since then, like our government has defunded our roads, defunded our bridges, defunded education. The state senators and legislators have like pulled back education, stopped building schools, and started building prisons. Industrial complex, mm-hmm. which actually, if you watch the movie 13 on Netflix, hint, it talks about how the U.S. is using money to, it's literally the new slave trade. The prison industrial complex is using the new slave trade.
Yeah, I've been actually hearing about that too, yeah.
Yep, it is literally, there's more prisoners now, and it's cheap labor. Prisoners are cheap labor, slave labor, and there's more prisoners now than there were slaves back in the Atlantic slave trade. But bringing it back to our modern times is that a lot of people in rural America, most Donald Trump supporters are in rural mm-hmm. middle America, where there's not a lot of universities, there's not a lot of manufacturing plants that actually pay good middle class jobs. There's just not a lot of education. It's just you're just living, and people feel defranchised. They feel like the government really does not give a fuck about them. And so Donald Trump speaks to the needs of those people. He's just attacking pain points at that point. Fear-mongering, too, at the same time.
Yeah.
Giving somebody else to blame. I know you found it when you were overseas with, was it Brexit?
Brexit, yeah.
Yep, Brexit.
Oh, yeah. Too. Yeah.
And then it was with me when I was in Australia with Tony Abbott. I hope I said his name right. It doesn't matter anyway. He's not the Prime Minister of Australia anymore. when he was talking about asylum seekers
from Indonesia.
Yeah. I'm glad you know about that, dude. Yes, hey, man, travel, y'all. Please travel. They're fear mongering pretty much.
Mm-hmm.
The reason why you don't have jobs, the damn Mexicans. The reason why America's
not safe,
Muslims. Damn Muslims.
The reason why
they blame other people. The reason why in Australia, the reason why, our economy's down. The Asians are taking our job and they're coming over here. Like, just fear mongering, cheap labor, stuff like that. It's whatever political point they can move to forward their agenda.
Mm-hmm.
I was actually watching a documentary last night, PBS Frontline. Have you heard of it?
I have not.
Never heard of PBS Frontline?
PBS?
PBS Frontline.
I know PBS, the station.
PBS Frontline. Actually, Google it right now. Just pull up the tab, PBS Frontline. It's called The Choice 2016. Hint, watch this documentary, please. I watched a good hour of it, and then I had to go to sleep because I had to go to work this morning. But it talks about how, at the first part of it, first hour is how Donald Trump and Hillary Clinton grew up, both of them. Their parents, their upbringing, a great way to know how to get to know a person and how they're gonna be, not only just in life, but as an individual as a whole, is look at their family structure, like how they grew up.
Okay.
And Donald Trump grew up in luxury, lavish lifestyle. His dad was a dick, a hard worker, hardworking man. He was a dick. Like he didn't waste any. He was, one of the themes was like he didn't waste a nail. Like he would. He worked 7 days. His dad worked 7 days a week. Hardworking, bust his ass, no bullshit type of guy. Donald Trump was a. He just loved. And this is the reason why I say this, because his dad saw the world and just how Donald Trump does it between winners and losers. If you didn't win, you lost. There's no tying. Take no prisoners mentality of viewing people and viewing situations. And you need to be on top. You need to be winning. So, and that was nurtured in his military academy that he went to. Where he learned some discipline and it was competition. Like he was hyper competitive. Donald Trump was very hyper competitive. Played baseball or everything like that, but he was groomed, like literally to be an asshole, pretty much. Some of his main points was his brother. But his dad pretty much drilled in Donald and his family pretty much. You guys have to be killers, like. You guys have to go out, be go-getters. Like, there will be a lot of backstabbing and leaving people behind in the business that they're in, which was real estate. But his older brother was supposed to take over the business, but his older brother, that wasn't him. Donald Trump was the, his name is Fred. Robert Trump. Which one is deceased? One of them died from alcoholism.
Born in 1948.
Is that the deceased one?
Fred Trump Jr.
Yeah. So Fred Trump was more his. He didn't want to take over the real estate business. He was the older brother. He didn't want to take over the real estate business. He became an airline pilot. But the shame that he got from his family made him convert to alcoholism, later he died. But the idea, and I quote, this is from the documentary, and Donald Trump really didn't have too much sorrow for his brother because his brother, quote unquote, wasn't a killer.
Dang.
Quote unquote. Pussy, whatever you want to call it. It's in the documentary, watch it. Hillary, on the other hand, she grew up, her parents were, her dad was an asshole, and her mother was a very very inspirational woman to Clinton, Hillary. Hillary's dad was a dick in the sense of Hillary would always bring home good grades, straight A student.
Yeah.
Always bring home good grades. And her dad was like, oh, you're getting A's in class? This school must be too easy for you. So wasn't getting any credit, wasn't getting any reassurance.
Recognition, like, good job. Yep.
Wasn't getting none of that from her father. And her mother, because of the social structure of in the place of women during that time in the 1940s, I believe. I'm not too sure.
Mid-90s.
It wasn't the mid-90s because, like, that's, like, talking about her mother. Like,
her mother.
Yeah. Hillary Clinton's mom. That was, like, back in the 1930s, 40s, or 50s. I'm not too sure. Don't quote me on the year. But her mother had higher dreams and aspirations not only for women but her daughter in particular because she saw the potential that her daughter had.
Okay.
Clinton, I'm gonna fast forward into Clinton's early political career when she got in with Bill Clinton.
Yeah.
So she graduated from law school at Yale.
Yeah.
That's where she met Bill Clinton. And back in the 1960s, when Clinton ran for governor, Hillary didn't fit the description of the typical woman at the time, which was a woman who is, you're just by your man. You're just a woman. Stay in your place.
Yeah.
You should be in the kitchen. Why is your hair not right? Because Clinton had these funky glasses. Her hair was not ladylike. Her hair was like how her hair is now. Her hair was long and like out of place, kind of hippie. And she spoke eloquently, and other people in society didn't like that. That she didn't fit. She didn't fit the stereotypical form of a woman during that time. And because of that, that hindered Bill Clinton's political career. Because his companion, yep, did you see those? Like, she had worse glasses than that in that photo.
You're seeing a picture right now, just letting you guys know.
Yeah, that was her during, actually her during high school.
Yeah.
Yeah, they show a lot of images in the movie. But she, not during that time. But she, because she wasn't acting the part as a woman should be during that time, it hindered Bill Clinton's political career. And he was only governor of Arkansas for 2 years instead of his full term. He got, when he ran again, he got voted up. Those type of glasses, those were, and her hair was like worse.
Yeah.
He's looking on Google, guys. So what Hillary Clinton did was she altered her appearance, but she didn't alter her attitude. She altered her appearance to fit the part of the role. And so she actually, during the Nixon era, she got her spotlight during the Nixon era. And this is where she started during the Watergate era.
Yeah.
The Watergate scandal with President Nixon. She was on the, she was a lawyer in the committee for that.
Ooh.
And that's when she learned the secrets of politics. The
playing
cutting
games,
deals, the playing games,
lobbying,
the secrecy, all that. That's when she learned how Washington works from the inside. And so, that's when she got her start, that's when she got her start. Sorry guys, I'm losing my points here. And after the Nixon scandal, she left back to Arkansas to go help Bill out. Now that I know this information, I'm
going to
help you catapult your career. And so, 10 years after the Watergate scandal, not 10 years after the Watergate scandal, she led him left to Arkansas and helped Bill Clinton get back into governor of Arkansas. And then later, after that, she helped him catapult his career politically to help him ultimately become president. So she was his right-hand man. Like,
yeah.
Right-hand
woman. Yeah.
Said the phrase. She was his right-hand woman.
Pretty much.
Literally, they helped each other out. They were both lawyers, both educated, both very smart. And so they, like, she had a great, after the Nixon era, after the Nixon, she could have had a great career in Washington without Bill, but she was, they met during, well, at law school, like, she was just in love, woman who was in love.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah, Bill was very charismatic. I'm going to talk about the scandal, too, with Monica Lewinsky. Let's go into that, actually.
Y'all heard that name in that Kanye song?
Yeah.
Is it Kanye song, right, or is it Usher?
It's Kanye.
Kanye, yeah.
Lewinsky.
Monica
Lewinsky. It's like embedded in their marriage, dude. Like, Bill is very charismatic. Like, that's like grounded, like, in the roots of their marriage. Like, Bill fucked around. I'm pretty sure Clinton fucked around too. Like,
yeah, I mean, it's Washington. It's.
I'm pretty sure that happens. If anybody's seen House, have you seen House Cards?
Well, I don't go off that. I guess you can't go off that, but you just know there's so much money involved, so much lobbyists, so much special interests. There's things being thrown around.
It's built in politics.
It's in business. Why would it not be in politics? If you're trying to get a business deal done, you're going to, you know, wine and dine them, take them out. Hey, let's go to strip club, show you the girls, you know. You're in New York, you're in L.A.,
mm-hmm.
show you a good time. If it's in business, it's in politics.
It's literally embedded in their marriage, and it actually goes back to Martin Luther King's marriage with his wife. She was like this movement. The FBI actually came to Martin Luther King and was going to expose Martin Luther King's infidelity. But his wife, Coretta Scott King, was like, go ahead. This movement is better than my marriage. It's worth more than my marriage.
Yeah.
And so the political, what's it called? There was a quote. Him cheating and everything like that, the infidelity, it's an ends. It's a quote that was in the movie, the documentary, I mean, and said, the ends justify the means.
The ends justify the means.
So, and that, I would put that in that context, and like, it's just something that's a part of it.
Yeah.
And then you're fighting for a bigger vision. This is something minor in what we're chasing.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
And so that's why she stayed by his side. Loyalty, something that I honor a lot. A woman like that. but if you guys are fighting for like political office, like that's just something that you, there's obviously stuff that we don't know, like the average person, and you're not going to be exposed to it.
Yeah.
It's just like, it's literally something that I'm learning. It's just like a part of it.
But it is a good point, just that the roots, their journey does really, it is going to affect mm-hmm. how they are going to run the office, how they are running their election, just the people who they are in mm-hmm. general.
Because Washington is it's a culture in itself that I don't understand. I wouldn't be able to.
It's a different game. I don't even know if I want to know that game.
I do. I have a strong interest for it because I'm very fascinated by the documentary because I get to learn about, okay, uh-huh. here's the people in power. Lifestyles you'll never live.
Uh-huh.
Like you're groomed into this. Yeah. Like, you know.
I've lobbied before, so I know kind of just a little bit of that. in my freshman year, we lobbied for additional funding for the CSU and just went to all these different, we went to Sacramento and talked to all these different politicians from our areas, so like San Jose, Santa Clara, and all these different CSUs came, and pretty much it was just manpower. Like, hey, we want additional funding, but at the end of the day, if you have other special interests throwing money at you, not just college students saying we need more money.
Well, it'd be, well, understanding how politics works, guys, like, you follow the money, and whoever got you in office paid for your campaigns, paid for your TV ads, paid for your postings to have your, the ballots of me advertising me in your mailbox. You're not going to be like, you're not going to get elected in office like, Coca-Cola, the guy, people who paid you $50 million for your election, they're on the phone. What are you going to tell them? Oh, I'm in the bathroom?
No, you're like, oh, shit, I want to get reelected. Put them on.
Like, and honestly, like people need to understand that people are going to pay off the people who got them in office first. You scratch my back, I scratch yours. It's just how it is. It's like, and that's just how the political system in our country works.
And it'd be interesting to know how or why it's set up like that. Because I know in Brazil, there was loads of corruption going on this past year that actually made it illegal. Any contributions, anything like that is illegal.
They got money out of politics. But like people, you have to understand, like, it's sad. You would think that politicians are there to look out for the people, but what was it? Citizens United made companies literally have the same rights as humans. Like a corporation has the same right as humans. Trump Tower has the same rights as you and I.
Yeah,
Citizens United, it made corporations people, so they can legally donate to campaigns.
Yeah.
And so you would think that it's a politician's duty to look out for the common people, the normal everyday citizen, but no, they're going to look out for their interests first. I got you in office. That desk, I got you into that desk. So I need my Dakota Pipeline. I need that done.
Exactly. But it also comes down to this term that I learned throughout the semester called it's being rationally ignorant. Mm. To the point where the general population isn't going to care about this small little thing, a small special interest. If that special interest pays their way, I'm trying to think of an example. If that special interest pays their way to something that the general public doesn't really care about or doesn't really have the time to get informed, it's just going to slip by. Mm-hmm. And that just keeps piling up and piling up. And the definition goes, refraining from acquiring rational ignorance.
What?
Refraining from acquiring knowledge when the cost of educating oneself on an issue exceeds the potential benefit that the knowledge would provide. Mm. So why would somebody care about the Dakota Pipeline if it's not going to affect them, if it takes way too long to figure out both sides of the issues? Who cares? Let it happen. It's not going to affect me. I'm in California.
And that becomes, that's one that's like us just sitting here in our comfortable bubble and in our fluorescent lights and oak table of just being comfortable, like, and not saying we shouldn't do anything about it, but you get to a point of just like, and you're so busy in your day, you're like, okay, what can I do about it?
Yeah, it's like, you kind of just in a way just give up or just see the opportunity cost of, I got more important things to do, why am I going to waste my time doing this, why am I going to commit my time doing this? Even you could even see here at State, when you things come up, new proposals, new ideas, new action plans, what is the term? I'm trying to think of it. Referendums come up. You're like, for me, like, if something were to come up that could alter the way San Jose State operates, like, I'm in a graduating year. I'm not, like, I don't have time to.
But it this was, like, in my ethics class back my freshman year. And it does, to me, it hurts me because it's just like, I want to do something, but there's only so much I can do.
Yeah.
The way the American lifestyle keeps you so busy with your 40-hour week job where you're just drained, you just want to go home and like watch TV and like
melt,
be entertained. It keeps you so busy that any social problems, social issues, like, dude, like, I got a car bill, I got student loans, I got kids, I have a house, mortgage, rent. I need to get food. I everything, like, it just piles up. It keeps you so, like, a credit card bill, like, I got to pay this, like, or
you become rationally ignorant. It just piles up, and then you get discouraged.
You have to make sacrifices to your lifestyle if you're willing to make sacrifices to your lifestyle to fight for social justice issues.
It's like the Trans-Pacific Partnership, which a lot of people don't know about, where that literally, that piece of legislation allows countries, allows corporations to sue other countries.
Yeah.
International countries, international businesses can sue a country. Like, for example, in America, was it Malbec? Is it called the cigarette brand Malbec? Or
Marlboro?
Marlboro was suing Australia for the way they were labeling their packs of cigarettes, because on the cigarette, it'd literally be a lung.
Yeah.
A black lung saying, this product can give you this lung, and people would still buy it and smoke it anyways. But the point is, they were like, you're damaging the image of our product, so we're going to sue you. You're going to sue your government.
Yeah.
That's crazy. But going back to, I'll go back to the upbringing of Trump, back to the documentary, The Choice 2016, PBS Frontline. Go watch it. Trump, in his older years, around 30 and 40, he was so enticed by, Trump loves the spotlight, period. He needs to be in the spotlight. If not, then like it's a problem. It's a problem. He feels uncomfortable. And so he got a shot with Trump Tower in real estate. He needed to make a name for himself in Manhattan. Mm-hmm. So, and he needed to beat his father, somehow to beat his father. So he devised Trump Tower, which was a success. It was a 56-story, I don't even know what to call it. It was a beautiful building, I ain't gonna lie. Mm-hmm. It was a 56-story building of, like, was like a hotel and, like, high-class products and stuff like that.
And, yeah.
Stuff you don't...
Some businesses operated in there, I think.
It's excessive. Don't get me wrong. It's excessive. But it's the luxurious lifestyle. And how Bill became... not Bill.
Donald.
How Donald became... Have I been saying Bill this whole time?
No, you were saying okay. Trump.
How Trump became the person he is, not only just because of his father, but his lawyer. His name was Roy Khan. He was a tough guy, take no prisoners mentality. He's the one who taught Donald to use lawsuits to get what you want. You lose lawsuits against people. If somebody sues you, never settle, but they still settle multiple times. And never settle, but you also sue back. So back in 1997, which was his first major lawsuit, housing discrimination. Apartments. The federal government was suing Donald Trump. The federal fucking government was suing Donald Trump for housing discrimination. So anybody was of color, minority, for example, for blacks, they would say on their application, they would put B for black or number 9 on the application, letting them know, like, hey, like, they're black. No, it's a no-go. Mm-hmm. It's housing discrimination. The federal government had great evidence against housing discrimination.
Did undercover people go in?
Mm-hmm. They had, that's a great point. They had, he ended up settling. But Donald Trump still called it as a win, and that's what his lawyer taught him. And then he sued back the federal government.
Did he?
They sued back, yeah.
Oh my
they lost. God. But they sued back. But that's what his lawyer is teaching him, is like, it take no prisoners mentality. Mm-hmm. Fuck what other people think about you. Never admit that you had a loss. And even if you lose, admit that you won. And also, Donald Trump carries the mentality of, where is it? If you repeat something enough, people will start to believe it. And this is back in when he was like 40 years old. And that's what he does all the time. Because like, this election is rigged. Yeah. Stuff about Mexicans, Muslims, and all that
trade
stuff.
Trade is bad.
Yeah.
Like everything
it's
in here.
Just repeating the same thing over and over.
Yeah.
And if you keep repeating stuff over and over time, people will be like, yeah, that is right. Instead of like doing the research and like...
Just, they become rationally ignorant. They don't see the amount of time to look into it. They're like, nah, fuck that. I trust Donald. I'm just going to listen to him instead of research because I got other shit to worry about.
Yeah. And so like it appeases to the mentality of his voters who are disenfranchised. They're socially unaware. They're socially out of touch, I should say. And they're undereducated. And that's the fault. It's a bigger, more complex societal problem. This is a societal problem. It's not just it's because of Donald Trump. No, this is Donald Trump is a microcosm of so many different problems within the U.S. that it literally catapulted his campaign to get him to where he is.
Yeah.
it pains me to say this, but in terms of a marketing perspective, how Donald Trump was marketed as a brand in his election, bravo to his team. Yeah. Bravo. Like, it
say some outrageous shit.
Like you're getting into the psyche of your voter. You're knowing your voter. You're knowing how your product can appease to your voter. And that's what major multinational, multi-billion-dollar corporations do when they advertise tied to you or yeah. tell you when you're hungry, grab a Snickers, or they drill into you, Red Bull gives you wings, mm-hmm. and stuff like that. It's drilling into you. It's drilling into you. It's drilling it into you.
And it leaves you wanting more. It leaves you wanting more.
As long as you want that product or service. And to his marketing campaign that's catapulted in the way he is, he kept the same principles. Never admit a mistake. Never admit that you were wrong. Keep saying the same phrases over and over again. And honestly, it's sad to say, dude, it's working. Yeah. It pains me to say that, but I saw this in Australia, where Australia's they had an undereducated population, and Tony Abbott was the bigot, the redneck, what you call him. They call him a bogan. In Australia terms, mm-hmm. And he's a lesser version of Donald Trump. Like, Donald Trump is the worst, literally, that I've seen. But I've seen this before. I've seen characteristics of this before when I was in Australia, and they were an election year. And Tony Abbott won, dude. He won.
And then Nigel Farage in UK with Brexit. He was the one leading that, and then he came out and supported Donald Trump, and that's...
Didn't he know? He resigned after Brexit. He was like, holy
shit. No, yeah, because he was like, oh, fuck, I did something wrong. This wasn't right.
Who was the guy the first? Cameron something.
David Cameron was the prime minister. He resigned. Mm-hmm. Nigel Farage...
took over.
He was... Yeah, so he didn't take over. He's leader of the Independence Party currently, UKIP, United Kingdom Independence Party. Mm. And then, so Nigel and Boris Johnson, which is the former mayor of London... They were the ones really drilling this Brexit, and kind of just going off the people's of what they wanted, their concerns. They were concerned about the Syrian refugee, the refugees from Syria, concerned about their national health care, concerned about jobs. And there's even this little thing, this picture, or they had all these buses filled out, and then saying the UK sends £350 million a week or whatever to the EU, we could use that money and send it to our national healthcare. And those buses were everywhere, those signs were everywhere. And as soon as Brexit went through, Nigel was like, oh yeah, that was a lie.
We were actually gonna do that.
We can't actually do that, that's actually a lie. So it's just going back to what you're saying with Donald, how just they kind of stemming into those things that people want to hear.
That's actually called, Donald coined it in his book, The Art of the Deal, which he did not write, by the way. Yeah. He did not write that. He people have co-authors. Some of the stuff, this is not their work. It may have their name on it, but they probably didn't write it. There's a co-author. And Donald Trump's co-author, his name is Tony Shorts. He co-authored The Art of the Deal. Mm-hmm. Literally, he wrote it. He states that he wrote it word for word, but it's Donald Trump's ideas. But he coined that term of what Nick was just talking about. He coined it a truthful hyperbole, which is an oxymoron in itself. Truthful hyperbole.
Yeah.
Where if you repeat something enough, people will start to believe it. And that's marketing at the end of the day. Red Bull gives you wings. Red Bull gives you wings. Red Bull gives you wings.
Nationwide is on your side.
It's marketing. That's why all my posts, if you go on my Instagram, Nerd with Abs, all my posts are the same.
Just drilling it.
It's the same. I'm drilling it. And I'll get clients like that. And it works. It's marketing. I mean, guys, once you understand it, you can't be mad at it. Because once you understand the psychology of it, and this creeps into the inner essence of the human mind and how it works. Why would you not use it? Oh, and Sigmund Freud came up with a lot of these,
Ooh, Sigmund Freud.
He was a fucking genius. Sigmund Freud was a genius, guys. The marketing concepts and the advertising that you see today is from the ground framework of Sigmund Freud's work. I studied him back in my freshman year
in college.
And it literally goes into how you advertise to babies, how your frontal lobe, which is the lobe that controls logic and judgment, that doesn't mature that doesn't mature in that matures in your teenage years, but it really matures in your adulthood around your 25. That way they advertise to teenagers differently as compared to they advertise to adults, because I know that logically you cannot rationalize yet.
Yeah.
I think you can, but not to the full magnitude of what a 26-year-old, 30-year-old can. So I'm going to market to you differently. I'm going to push this commercial out to you. I'm going to push Trident out to you differently. I'm going to push Taco Bell, the Doritos Locos Tacos. I'm going to push that out to you differently.
Mm-hmm.
And like, once you learn it, like you, and this is what I say, dude. That's why I became a small business owner. Like, I became 1099. You literally, it's either play the game or be played, like, period. You need to learn how the system works and play, yeah, roll with the punches of the system, because it's not set up for the W-2 worker. It's set up for the entrepreneur, the business owner. That's why the tax code is written the way it is. It's because it's written for businesses. I want my advantage. So for the, since the, the, not the Nixon era, the, was it Nixon? No, it wasn't Nixon.
Before?
Ronald Reagan. The Reagan era. That is when stuff changed for businesses majorly. 30 years of Reaganomics. So it just, it's, and it's still in place today in
2016. Yeah.
Like, yeah, you gotta roll with the punches. Like, hey, I'm gonna report losses on my business this year. It is what it is. I got a tax lady to do that. I'm gonna report losses, quote unquote, and I'm gonna get a tax write off. Who's gonna pay for that? W-2 workers. And that's why Donald Trump doesn't release his tax returns. It's because he knows he hasn't paid anything in years, and he pretty much. And if he becomes president, he's not gonna pay anything. I guarantee that. Guarantee it. It's sad, dude. Yeah. It really is sad. It literally is. The ties really begin.
The secretary pays more than CEO in taxes.
Yes, it really is true. They may work. They may get paid $40,000 a year.
And they'll get taxed more?
They'll get taxed 35% of that. If you're not married, if you're not married, you tax more.
Yeah, if you're single and not 20.
That's, it's sad, dude, but it's the way the structure is set up. And if you want to advance yourself in life, you got, okay, I'm already in the system in itself. I'm already in it. And instead of complaining about it and saying, oh, I wish it was like this, it's either you learn it or you get played by it, period.
Because we're at the point where there's only so much we can do to change it.
Yeah. And, like, you can't, like, it's sad, dude.
It becomes discouraging. At least in my mind, I see this whole big clusterfuck. And I'm just, like, there standing in front of it. And I see this big cloud of just shit. God. And you're just like, fuck.
That's pretty much where I'm at in the documentary. But... where I'm definitely gonna watch the last hour of it. It was very interesting. But one thing I realized between the first hour watching the Clinton, the Choice 2016, between Clinton and Donald Trump, is legacy is key. Like, it's what you're known for. What, not only just for yourself, but your family, your friends. What are you known for? Like, did you leave a good mark behind? Part of me, this is a bad transition, but part of me likes the way Clinton grew up, because she got exposed to Martin Luther King early by one of her professors. Mm-hmm. She got exposed to different ideals, and she got exposed to Washington at a young age, so she played the game. She knows, she understands how the system is, and she's rolling with it. It comes off as fake, but she's literally the most, it's kind of sad that she's literally the most qualified person for the position. We think you don't have to have much qualification to be a president. Most people think, oh, you need to go to Yale or Harvard or Stanford to be the president.
That's just that marketing part of it.
It's the marketing part of it, but no, like, there's not much qualifications to be the president of the United States. Like, but literally, like, she's literally the most qualified. 40+ years in Washington.
She knows what she's doing.
She knows what the
even if it's a
fuck
fucking
she's
game,
doing.
At least it's better than somebody who is like whole like you
and
don't then, it, it's you don't know what's
going on. It's amazing to me how it's like I got 40 years of experience in this shit, and now I gotta go up with this fuck boy who literally announced last year who's not a politician. He's a celebrity, and he's just I have to go up against this, and he's actually winning.
Yeah,
like that's crazy to me. That shows our time that we live in today. Like, oh god.
And he, the fucker that you're running against, fucking donated to your foundation.
Oh, he donated to the Clinton Foundation. Oh, he just googled it. What was $100,000?
Yeah. $100,000.
Yeah,
I don't know when. Let's find out when.
It speaks to our time, but honestly, like, after learning the history, and it's just the first hour, this could change after I watch the rest of this documentary, because I have another hour of goodness to go into. It could change, but, like, honestly, like, I would rather have Clinton in office than Trump. But a part of me does want to shake up Washington, because I know how it is, and if Trump wins, I don't know how it would shake up Washington. That'd be like a...
It would just really change. I don't know. It's kind of like a Brexit thing where you really don't know what...
Yeah.
Because then you also have the fact where, okay, the president really doesn't have that much power because he got Congress and all that.
But he could... But still, he has not only the military power, he could write executive orders.
Yeah.
Like, that's what Obama did with... the crisis in the border in Mexico. He sent aid and money to the border because Congress wasn't sitting on their asses not doing shit, and he could write executive orders. Okay, this is changing. All right, the climate. No, I want it off. All right, check it off. Businesses, tax liens, more and more.
And the real reason why I voted for Clinton, because both candidates are equally as shit. In my opinion, Donald Trump is a lot worse than Hillary, but that's not saying Hillary is good at all. She's still like a 1 out of 10. Is Supreme Court.
Yeah.
So they're going to legit decide at least one.
For years, though. That's a permanent position.
Yeah. Until they die.
That's imagine a great point.
Two people who think like Donald Trump to be here for 20 years minimum.
And those votes are...
It's going to be nine judges. It's time.
Nine judges.
Yeah.
Literally, like, those could reverse... They can reverse gay marriage. They can reverse all the progress that has happened within the past 8 years. There has been progress in the past 8 years. It's mainly been in the private sector, but like, that's huge, dude. That is a bigger point in terms of magnitude. That's huge.
Supreme Court.
Like, our Supreme Court is huge. Yeah, like that. Yeah, that's.
So if you're thinking of just social fundamentals, Clinton having somebody who thinks like Clinton, progressive, it's a lot better than somebody who thinks like Donald, in my opinion.
Could reverse so much stuff. But even if Donald Trump loses, he still has an army.
Yeah, the thing I was thinking the other day was like, what happens to all his supporters when...
Like, he still has an army, those First, Second Amendment supporters, quote-unquote, and just exposing all, like, the ignorance of that American society that has built. It is literally a microcosm of today's time. But here, thankfully, here in the U.S., we live in a liberal bubble. Not the U.S., I mean, here in California, in the Bay Area, we live in a liberal
bubble. Bay Area, SoCal. At least L.A., I know San Diego has a little bit of it.
A little bit of
like Carlsbad area, but...
Carlsbad.
Uh-oh. Above San Diego, Oceanside. Pretty red over there, but... Definitely LA, definitely here, Bay Area.
But that was a quick history lesson for y'all on, what was like a brief history lesson on the upbringing of Clinton, Trump, and what we think about them. I'm probably just gonna vote for Hillary, bro.
I voted for her.
I might grow Green Party or something like that.
Supreme but Court.
Just vote, period.
Supreme Court.
Yeah, just vote, period.
I would have voted for Green Party. We just put in Bernie, but at the end of the day, Supreme Court.
Do we want to go over the California propositions?
Do it real quick.
Do it real quick? Okay.
Little 10 minutes.
Just to educate our voters on what propositions, because most people are focused on the national election. There are some...
So it'll be a little speed round. So it's...
Prop 60.
Requires porn stars to wear condoms during sex.
In California. This is California-wide.
Let's discuss this. Quick summary. If passed, porn stars have to wear condoms during scenes with sexual intercourse. Anal included. So, my opinion, just through that sentence. Hollywood, imagine Hollywood without porn.
This is California.
California, yeah. Like, the amount of tax dollars that is shot in because of porn is humongous. Like, that, even with, like, with movies and all that, they're taxing all that already, that some movies are moving over to, like, Arizona, I know Nevada, but still, just with porn, why are you going to regulate that shit? Just let them do what they gotta do. I know some I guess some people are gonna say, oh, it's unhealthy.
I would like to see the argument to wear condoms.
Probably it's gonna be the STIs. It's
that, but I know for a fact in the porn industry they check profusely the clients for STIs, blood test, urine, everything like saliva, all that type of stuff before they even engage.
I guess maybe just like those really just like cheap porns that are out there.
I haven't done any research on it, so I cannot eloquently.
Well, we're just looking at it from the skeleton.
I mean, I grew up on.
I mean, we all, you know. I mean, I from reading this quick summary, I would vote no.
I'd vote no too.
All right, so that Prop 16 settled. Yeah, don't make a wear condoms, bro. So fuck. Prop 62
and 66
either repeals or speeds up the death penalty. If both pass, the one with the most votes determines the future of the death penalty. That's already worded.
Very confusing.
Very confusing.
I would.
So Prop 62 is repeal it. Mm-hmm. The goal is to get rid of the death penalty. A yes on 62 repeals the death penalty in California, replaces the penalty with a life sentence without possibility of parole, and applies retroactively to those on death row. Prop 66 is to quicken it. Okay, so it's two, but they're... Mm-hmm. You see, that's just so...
That confuses voters if they don't do research.
Yeah. Huh? The goal is to fix the death penalty. A yes on 66 keeps the death penalty and speeds up the process by expanding which courts and attorneys work on the cases. So pretty much, if you wanted to keep the death penalty, you'd vote no on 62 and yes on 66. If you wanted to... if you wanted to repeal it...
Vote yes on 62.
And no on 66. If you wanted to keep it, vote no on 62 and yes on 66.
Just vote. I say quicken the process if you have done some very terrible things like kill 50 plus people, rape people, like all that type of stuff.
I say just quicken
the society.
Quicken it as well. Also, I don't know. I wonder how we're looking at this very from the skeleton, but from an economical standpoint, I wonder how much it would cost the. Somebody.
It costs $30,000 plus to keep a person in jail for a year.
Yeah, so and then times that, let's just say somebody's like 30 and then they live till they're 80, 50 years.
That's like a long time.
Yeah.
Prison industrial
complex. But then I guess the other side would be like, how much does it cost for all the paperwork?
Very minute injection. In terms of all that. Yeah. Very minute.
I say quicken it.
Quicken it. Vote yes on 66 for at least my perspective.
Yeah. Quicken it. And then no on 62 to repeal it.
Hey!
All right, 64, if you guys don't know this one. Marijuana, bruh.
Legalized marijuana is Prop 64. God. Go ahead, what is that? I can't see it.
This legalizes it for people 21 and over, recreational marijuana sale and use, with taxation and regulation.
Mm-hmm.
So growing, it'd be legal to grow up to 6 plants in a private home. Illegal if it is unlocked or visible from a public place. If being sold, the cultivation is taxed at $9.25 an ounce of dried flowers or $2.75 an ounce of dried leaves.
Mm-hmm.
Using, smoking is okay in a private home or in a business licensed for on-site consumption, so I guess like a bar. Mm-hmm. Smoking is illegal while driving in any public place or anywhere where smoking tobacco is already prohibited.
Dude, do you know how much money like these delivery service, DoorDash, Uber, Lyft, what's the other Postmates, like all them?
I'm trying to think what besides just being an old person and thinking marijuana is bad, what is an argument against it? Younger kids are gonna get a drug.
The same thing.
It's the same thing, having prohibition and all that shit, right?
Yeah, it's the same thing. It's gonna pass, dude. It got, what was it, in 2000, what was the last one? It was like fairly recent, 2012?
I don't remember.
2000. It's somewhere where.
I remember, yeah. It was very close.
Where it was like a 40, 60% no, don't pass it, and a 40% pass it. And so now it's going into like how. In my opinion, from a college, being in my college bubble.
yeah, legit, if it was just colleges voting.
It's going to pass.
It's going to
pass. But just economic, in terms of economics, dude, like, they're going to tax the hell out of this. They're going to make so much more money off of it.
I think it's probably just a lot of lobbying from tobacco, like Marlboro, all those fuckers. Who's going to fuck is going to smoke a cigarette and you can just go smoke a blunt?
Yeah, and then probably Walmart's gonna get on it. Target, like all these other chain stores, you're gonna see a lot more weed shops and service, like just off. Because I know a restaurant owner who told us that just off having DoorDash and Uber Eats, it's added, just because I had a restaurant, a business, mm-hmm. it has added $6,000 more money to my business just because I had this restaurant.
Because people are convenient. It's yep. convenient to get the food.
Yep. And so if you have a weed shop anywhere, it's going to be regular where you can't have like 1,000 feet from
the school,
like a school or something like that. It's going to be like that. But if you have a weed store, like I honestly probably invest my money in this.
Yeah.
Like people are going to make so much money off it. Like,
yeah.
It's going to get passed anyways. It's going to be a yes for me.
Same. I vote to legalize it. All right. Prop 51. Let's see. If passed, the state would give $9 billion in general obligation bonds, debts, in parentheses, debts paid back with interest paid by taxpayers for school construction projects. $7 billion for K-12 schools, $2 billion for community college. Lots of details in between. And that's what I don't like. As soon as I read this, lots of details in between. Because where is that money line? Going?
Yep.
Like $9 billion
that's a is lot a of money.
Law. Like, that's a lot of money.
I controlled for my data research, my software, my financial software company that I work for. I had a project for $100,000 for a London project, and I was just like, holy cow, like, how do I define all this? Like, it's a lot of money.
And that makes
a good argument. $9 billion?
And makes a good argument, too. Like, or just reading this, it's like a straight, it's pretty much like a little text message.
iPhone text message.
The wealthiest school district, like, how could you figure out, distribute the wealth? How do you know, okay, is San Jose school district's going to get it? Or is it going to be, is the majority going to be given to like Watsonville, lower education systems that aren't as,
how is it
like Milpitas High School versus Eastside San Jose High School. I don't know if there, whatever school there is in Eastside mm-hmm. San Jose. Like, I feel it would be unequal if Milpitas got the same amount as Eastside San Jose. It's
dividing the resources.
Or if a school in Orange County got the same amount as some school in Watts.
You're not dividing the resources equally. That's a good point. But I'm in favor for it if it just says improve schools. I haven't done research on that. That's something that I want to do more research on.
Mm-hmm.
Next, let's try to...
I'm
going to do research on that, personally.
What did I vote on this one? I think I voted no just because I was rationally ignorant and I didn't have enough time to look into it. So I just voted... I think I might have voted no just because
you are a representation.
I am. I'm a bad yeah. voter.
Terrible voter.
Bad voter.
Why I'm glad I waited. I planned this out. We're going to do the podcast.
Prop 63 creates all-round stricter checks on ammunition. This proposition has a few different pieces that create more checks on sales of ammunition. California already has the strictest gun laws.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, so we'll present how it is now. What would be different? Prop 63. If Prop 63 passes, if you want to buy ammo, you need to have a passive background check. Through the Department of Justice and buy a 4-year permit that could cost $50 max. Does it say $50 a year? Or no, $50. Yeah, $50 for 4 years, pretty much. Selling ammo without a license would now become a misdemeanor. Hunters selling 50 rounds or less a month are still exempt. Prop 53 would still require online purchases to be delivered to a licensed dealer and picked up in person. But it would move up the date it goes into effect to January 2018. So it's still going into effect, which is a year later. Prop 63 passes, if a gun is stolen and worth less than $950, it would now be a felony. So if you were to steal that gun and it's worth less than $950, that's a felony right there.
Yep.
If you happen to still own large capacity magazines from pre-2000, you would now have to dispose of them. A court process would be set up to enforce the removal of guns from prohibited persons. I'm all against no guns, so I automatically
vote yes.
Yeah.
I already voted yes. I'm literally voting as he's reading this, guys.
Exactly. I'm still curious on this Prop 51 about the $9 billion. I know. That's fucking a lot of money.
I'm gonna vote yes on that to improve schools.
Nice. You doing on that one, huh?
I have to. Huh?
You doing on that one. This is just
Oh, well, still, it's practice, man.
Prop 55. Extends an income tax for high-income earners. So it extends it, which means it's already in place. In 2012, voters approved Prop 30, which included a marginal tax rate increase of 1 to 3% on those making more than $263,000.
A tax increase on those. But the thing about that, okay, you're increasing the taxes. You're extending the tax increase.
Yeah.
Oh, then yes.
Yeah, I mean, everybody who's smart doesn't even reside... That technically doesn't reside here in California. They have their place set up in, like, Delaware or like, Nevada.
That's Prop who?
It's 55, so...
Yay.
Vote yes on that. Prop 54 requires that before voting, bills be frozen and made public. What does that mean? So this measure would require that bills be put in print, like printer's paper, and online 72 hours before the state legislator can vote on it.
Mm-hmm.
It also requires that all public proceedings be recorded and put online within 24 hours. Crazy, right? Not so fast. Tell me more.
No, don't worry about that.
That's too much.
That's way too much. Let's just go to... How many propositions
are there? There's a lot.
I know. We should put a link.
That's
a lie, dude.
Let's do the cigarette one as the last one.
Okay, what's the last one?
Cigarette. Prop 56. Increase the tax on e-cigs and tobacco products by
$2. That's gonna happen, yeah. I'm putting
a yes on that. Yeah.
I just want to know, okay, you're increasing taxes, you're increasing funding for education. Where is this money being allocated to?
This new revenue would mostly go to services related to Medi-Cal. That's specifically with... the cigarette tax.
I really want to know what the $9 billion to go into the schools. That's where I'm going to research. So.
And just how it's spread.
Spread it, exactly.
How
it's distributed. It's distributed equally.
Uh-huh. Never for sure know.
All right, guys, this has been a goodie. I feel like we have educated our audience. This has been a goodie.
And we become educated along the process, too.
I know, right?
Yeah.
Life is, you're still a student. Life, you're always a journey.
Life,
the day you stop learning is the day you die.
Damn.
Yep. So, guys, we're going to end it here. Nick has stuff to do. I have stuff to do. Where can they follow us or find us, Nick?
IG underscore Carrillo Nick. That's CARRILLONICK. Snapchat, don't laugh when you hear this. It's NC Big Daddy. N as in Nick, C as in Carrillo, Big Daddy. Facebook, Nick Carrillo. We will also be posting the link to the proposition page when we post this podcast so that way you guys have easy access to it. Don't be like me and be rationally ignorant. Take some time out of your day and, you know, look into it. I know I looked into a good amount of these, but some of them were just too wordy where I was just like, fuck.
That's what voters do. It's a sad thing with voters. Yeah. People need to understand. Voting is about the reallocation of funds, literally.
Yeah.
For me, guys, you can find me on IG, nerd with abs, underscore. My Snapchat is JAY underscore RELLE 707. Facebook at Jarrell Parker. And we'll be dropping this, I'm dropping this podcast on the 3rd. I'm trying to just call me tomorrow, actually. Appreciate you guys for listening all over the world, man. Like, appreciate y'all. We got an audience, Nick. We got a good time, man.
Eat.
We'll be more consistent with these podcasts. I'll make it a point for Nick to make an hour out of his week or 45 minutes. So
we'll make it happen.
Guys. We appreciate you guys for listening. This is Intellectual Ignorance Podcast, and we are out.
Go out and vote.
Go out and vote, please.